This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today's topic is an interesting one. It's living abundantly, living simply, which, you know, when you combine those two words together in the same breath, it really sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Well, and from the mind's perspective, it really is. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be talking about how can you live abundantly while still living simply, and sharing some ideas on how to shift the perception in the mind's eye as the fact that you can't possibly do both at the same time. I'm also going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about today's topic or about your health or about a relationship, right now the first of this year came in like a lion. It's an action year of 2015, and it certainly has been that. And one of the key areas that many of us are really beginning to experience that real blatant awareness in this contrast that we need to look at things and change things comes around our relationships itself. So if you have a question about your relationship, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada. And, of course, international callers, same number, 877-230-3062. All you do is just add your international calling code before that number. Also wanted to let you know that I just posted my January free giveaway promotion on my website at www.ritberger.com. And this month I'm going to be offering a 1 hour free reading. So if it's a reading is something that you've been considering and just maybe on the fence and you just want to look at it from a different perspective, again, that's the energy of 2015, then just go to my website, ritberger.com. And then just click on the pop-up when it shows up on the homepage, or click on the Enter to Win icon at the top of the homepage. Give us get your email address, and then you're all set. You're actually your name is included in the drawing for the reading, 1 hour free reading, which is going to be taking place on January 31st. And what I'll be doing is we'll be drawing the names, the name at that point in time, and then I'll be notifying the winner by email. Also, a quick reminder to let you know that if you aren't in the database, entering the promotion is one way to do it, but also to go on my website on the left-hand side of the homepage at the bottom, ritberger.com, you'll see connect with Carol, and just send your email address that through that means. And then also what it'll do is it will give you a chance to be notified of all of the things that I have coming up. I've got lots of things that I'm going to be offering in the year of 2015. And if you're interested in knowing what those things are, I'm going to have online classes, more online classes. I'm going to have more webinars. I'm going to have a lot of new events. I'm actually going to start offering a year-long program, a couple of them actually. One is on becoming certified as a soul coach. The other one is going in and learning how to use intuition. So we have a lot of things that are going on and really understanding the soul and medical intuition. So again, lots on the books, lots on the drawing board, I should say. And then in addition to that, I'm going to be having my free downloads. I'm also going to be offering some podcasts, and then also lots of new products to help you in your personal growth. And then, of course, on that spiritual journey that every day, every moment of our existence, we're growing both personally and spiritually. So again, if you're interested, just go to ritberger.com and then just let me know what your email address is. You're in the database, and then you'll be notified of all the things that are coming up. So abundance and simplicity. Can we really use both of these words at the same time? Well, when we ask our soul heart, the question is always yes. However, when we ask our mind, can we live abundantly and still live simply? the mind isn't as quick to agree. And that's because the mind sees living simply as really from the perspective or living, the mind sees living simply as not being as engaged in life, not being as involved in the problems and the responsibilities and the commitment. It hasn't quite got clear on what simplicity means. And then when I go in and we ask the mind, what does abundance mean? And to live abundantly yet simply, the mind immediately goes in and defines that as really forgoing a lot of our worldly possessions in living in a world where we, from our mind's perspective, are working from a place of scarcity. So, and that has a lot to do with the conditioning that we have been led to believe is that how we measure our worth and how we honestly in some ways justify our existence is that we have to be overly busy. That's not simply living, and that we've got to have more than we really need. Now, understand, I like material things, so this isn't saying, okay, let's just go in and let's just give up all of our worldly goods. But what this means is looking at abundance from a different perspective, and when we do that from the soul heart, then the soul heart's perspective is that living simply is living abundantly, and living abundantly is living simply. And the soul heart really knows and believes that one begets the other. So in order to really look at living abundantly and living simply, we have to go down to the real root of how we can see things differently. And that means that we have to become aware of the soul heart itself and how that soul heart plays an integral role in bringing heightening our awareness and bringing meaning and purpose to our life. When I was go in and I ask all my questions that I do of all the celestial helpers, I ask them about, you know, the soul heart. Is there a soul heart? And of course, the answer was yes. And I asked them, how does the soul heart differentiate from the human heart? And one of the things they said is that the soul heart gives you information that's different than the way your mind gives you information. It gives you new information, touched information that's full of possibilities where the mind just goes back into your archives and pulls up what you've learned, what you've experienced, what worked, what didn't work. So when we look at the soul heart, the first thing for us to know is that it's a non-physical heart, just as our mind is a non-physical part of the brain. We can't find the mind or the soul heart by physically dissecting the body to look for it or to literally find it. But we know that both are real, and we know they're real because the mind itself is always influencing the thoughts that we think and the emotional reaction to those thoughts. We know that that mind is real because it changes our behavior in alignment with what we're thinking and what we're experiencing emotionally. So the mind, again, when we go in and we look for it, we could find a little bit of the mind in all of the brain as the mind utilizes all of the brain to be able to gather the information, to be able to make the decisions, and to be able to take the actions that are needed for the decisions to be followed through. Where the soul heart is different, the soul heart really doesn't express itself through emotions, but it does use emotions to be able to help the mind realize that the thoughts that we're thinking and the emotional patterns we're engaged in aren't the healthiest for us. So what the soul heart does is it uses the energy of it to bring awareness to the mind to say, you're angry. That anger is changing your behavior, and the soul heart doesn't go in and say, change that thought immediately. But what it does is it creates a bigger perception, expands the perception of what the real problem is in order to distract the mind from following through the same way that it always does. The mind loves what's tried and true. The mind loves complexity. The more complex, the more it can justify its existence. And then what we do is we find ourselves being mentally overloaded. The mental chatter just goes on and on and on, the yada, yada, yada. And we find ourselves confused. We find ourselves experiencing self-doubt. And then the mind goes in and takes a very deep breath and goes, whew, good, good. Now you're back in control. Well, from the soul heart, you're not in control. You're out of control. And so what the soul heart does is it actually expresses itself through possibilities. It expresses itself through the metaphors that the mind hears. The soul heart expresses itself through our intuition. Now, the mind is dependent on an interaction with someone or an event or a circumstance that really triggers it into action. However, the soul heart doesn't need any of that. All the soul heart needs is it needs you to smile. It needs you to laugh. It needs you to experience that quietness, that serenity, that stillness. And it needs you to experience that personal satisfaction that brings joy, that brings that place of woohoo, that place of comfort, that place of peace, that place of self-love. The mind uses the human heart to be able to measure our abundance, especially in relationships, based on the quality of our relationships and, honestly, the number of relationships we have. So from the mind's perspective, it takes an interaction with someone for us to go back into the archives in that mind to basically evaluate, determine, to judge, discern, whatever word I want, that critical analysis to say, boy, are you sure you want to do this relationship? Does it feel like anything that you've been involved in before? If it does, you know, warning, 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 don't become involved in it. And yet the soul heart in that same situation comes in and goes, look at this. This is a different picture. This is a different person. It's a different energy. It has potentially different opportunities within it. So rather than getting all worked up and closing down to the opportunity to learn more about yourself and to learn more about someone else, then why don't you just remain open and take it one step at a time rather than coming from the fear that, OMG, I'm going to do something wrong. I'm going to find myself back in the same place. So the soul heart really serves as that common ground where our spiritual nature and our physical nature meet so we can actually become one. And when we become one with that spiritual and physical nature, then in fact what we do is we find ourselves being a spiritual being, having a physical experience. And when the circumstance requires, we're a physical being having a spiritual experience, but there isn't the tension between the two. So the whole soul heart really is that common ground where those two different, aspects of ourself can really come together and play and to be able to dance together and learn from each other. And so they can become one. When we connect with the soul heart, what it does, it takes that earthly intellect that we've acquired, all of our experiences, what we've read, all of the things that we've been told, all of the things that we've been led to believe. It takes that earthly intellect and it merges that intellect with the intelligence of the divine source within us and then that universal consciousness. When that occurs, then everything changes. Everything expands. The situation that we're dealing with becomes larger than life. And how we see that particular situation, that experience, that relationship in the moment is forever changed. The soul heart also serves as the doorway through which we enter into that core essence of truly who we truly are. That core essence refers to that soul, the soul, the matrix, the part of us that in many ways is absolute and the part of us that is just learning more about who we are. Within that core essence of our soul, we actually have a philosophical perspective in which we look at life and we engage in life. And when we follow that philosophical perspective, then we are abundantly rich with the opportunities for us to be able to move into a place where we're connected to our truer self and where we're able to live and express that true self in our external world. The soul heart is where we find true happiness, not the happiness that's attached to other people or the quality of our relationships, but the happiness that we feel toward ourselves. It's where we experience those profound feelings of really being connected to something greater than our physicality. We have within us a physical I am, we have a spiritual I am, we have a soul I am, and all of those I ams are attached to the I am of the divine source. And at any point in time, we can function in either or any of those I ams, or we can just get out of our way and let the soul heart, meaning stop thinking about it and spinning on it and trying to figure it out. We can take a deep breath and we can let our soul heart come in and intervene to be able to bring this symbiosis of energy to the point where we're able to truly connect with all parts of who we are, that physical I am, that spiritual I am, the energetic I am of the soul, and the I am of the divine source. And you know what? We don't have to think about it. We don't have to worry about it. And it isn't complicated. It's very, very simple and very, very clear. In the soul's heart, we know that we belong and that our actual existence in human form is really important. And so we find ourselves wanting to be drawn to be of service to others. There's a big difference when we look at abundance as the abundance that comes from being of service to others versus the abundance that comes by being the servant of others, meaning relinquishing what we need and our control to other people in order to get our human needs met. Huge difference. So when we look at it from that perspective, then the soul heart becomes a valuable player in both this living simply and living abundantly. The soul heart is where we remember that all we need to live a meaningful, abundant, and purposeful life is going to be found within us rather than externally. Yet it isn't being in this unconscious evolutionary sleeper mentality. It's being consciously connected to that soul heart in a way that we're able to tap into its bigger picture, its world of possibilities, and into the wisdom, the courage, and the strength, and the love that it has for us so we can live our life abundantly. The connection with the soul heart is where we actually increase our energy vibration, and we actually accelerate that personal growth, and we quicken our spiritual development. Important to remember, the soul heart seeks simplicity and abundance rather than complexity and scarcity. The mind itself really goes in and it wants us to survive. And when the mind runs our need to survive, then it immediately negates the need for all of the other things that give us that happiness. It brings it down to the bare bones of what we need. It engages the human ego in a way that we're in survival mode mentally, that psychologically, meaning mentally and emotionally, all the time. And scarcity becomes the norm. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much we work, no matter how much we do, how much energy we throw into it, how much it impacts our health, when we look at abundance and the simplicity that comes with life through the eyes of the mind, all it'll do is make it more complex. So the simplicity that the heart offers, the soul heart offers, is it reveals that life is bigger than our mind can ever imagine and that we're more powerful than our mind actually gives us credit for. So don't you find it interesting how engaged the mind is to really program us to believe that we couldn't possibly do that because we don't have what it takes? It will go into our history and into those psychological archives, and it said, let's see, I think you tried something like this when maybe you were 8 years old, didn't work then. Or maybe it was when you were 15. Oh, it didn't work then either. It's not even the same situation, but the mind doesn't know that because all the mind is reading is the need to control to keep you safe. So what it does is it minimizes you. It minimizes what you're capable of doing, and it doesn't inspire you. When you feel inspired and you feel courageous and you feel empowered and you feel that I can do attitude, that isn't your mind just waking up one morning and go, you know, I'm going to change my ways. That is your soul heart coming in, because possibly in your dreams, something different changed. You saw it different. Or maybe you walked in with a completely different thought or perception about something that you've been working on for a long time, and you woke up and it's like, oh my gosh, there is what I've been looking for. So the soul heart works in ways that maybe don't tap into the conscious everyday awakened thinking that we have. It just might wait until we're going in and we get into that silence. The soul heart itself seeks silence rather than that mental chatter. So we can hear it speak to us. So we can hear it actually come in and give us the answers that we were looking for. The one thing that's important to remember is that the soul heart doesn't make our decisions and choices for us. It provides us awareness, insight, possibilities, endless solutions to be able to look at the problem from a different angle and perhaps many different angles. It also, when we're looking at the problem for those different angles, the soul heart may say to us, you know, is it possible that this really isn't your problem? Is it possible that you don't have enough information? Is it possible that this problem that you're being asked to solve, belonging to someone else that's not giving you enough information, is really wasting your time and your energy? Maybe it's saying to you, why don't you go for a walk? Why don't you have a change of scenery? Why don't you do something different? And just see if it really is your responsibility to go in and to solve the problem. Now, the interesting thing about the mind is the mind, once a problem is identified, it doesn't know whether it's yours or someone else's. It just jumps on it like a dog on a bone. And what it does is it tries to solve it. It tries to not necessarily look at it from a lot of directions, but it goes back again into those psychological coffers, and it's like calling that record keeper that we have deep within the human mind, the psyche. It's like, you know, we have a problem. I'm not sure really what it is, but boy, is it complex. And, you know, it's really causing a lot of chemical changes in the body of the person, and I'm worried about it. You know, I don't know if it's the same thing we've had before. Is the shoe going to drop? What's going on? And it creates the fear alarm to go off. One of the things with the soul heart is that you do not feel fear. That fear alarm, that fight, flight, freeze is not. And I'm going to use the word never, which any of you who know my work know that I never say never. But the soul heart never triggers that fight, flight, freeze alarm. What it does is it creates excitement. So yes, you might get a little bit of the adrenaline rush. It's like, woohoo, let's jump into action. But it's not that fight, flight, and especially not the freeze part that says, OMG, do not move forward, because if you do, then trouble is awaiting you. The mind actually is creative to the point where it has, over the course of our life, I found in the work that I do with people around their intuition, the mind actually, over the course of our experiences with our intuition, uses that intuition in its mind's eye to use it as part of this alert system. When our intuition becomes active, the mind goes, oh no. No, 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 we're not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I want to shut that down. I'm solving the problem. I'm looking at it. You don't, intuition, soul heart, you don't need to get involved in this. But what I need you to do is just sit in quietness, observe what's going on, and let me work with it. Because, you know, the last time that you tapped into your intuition and you followed it, oh my gosh, that wasn't good at all, was it? So again, it's that mind needs to basically come in and to control. So again, the soul heart doesn't control. It has no need to control. Its primary job is to just say to you, this is an experience. Here's the expanded perception of the experience. Here's the opportunities that lie within it. What do you want to do? And that's the job of the soul heart. That's the job of the soul itself. The mind has forgotten over the course of our conditioning that it really isn't supposed to be the captain of the ship. I don't know exactly when it differs from person to person, but somewhere within those first 3 months of our existence, based on the reactions we get from the interaction with our parents and siblings, somewhere the mind starts the process of taking over that young. We exist and we rely on our intuition to be able to survive and to be able to see the expanded perception of things, to be able to survive, to be able to exist within our own skin. Yet this conditioning of the mind itself and the way that it programs us, then even up to 3 years old, it can start to take control of us. And then we live that control till we're 13. And then we have these different hormonal changes that happen, both male and female. It actually starts earlier, but we think about puberty around that point in time. And all of a sudden, this compliant little child that we are and this young being who wants to please everyone suddenly seems to grow an extra head. And that extra head is tied to not being behaviorally compliant. Unfortunately, the mind wants to take care of that, and what it does is it starts the process by moving us away from this soul heart. So remember that the only purpose of the soul heart itself is to expand the perceptions that we have of the experiences so we can make sure that the decisions that we're making and the choices we're going to act upon aren't being driven by our fears and insecurities. It makes it possible for us to look around with fresh eyes so we can see the best in the best of what is happening at that time, the best in the situation, the best in a relationship, and the best in ourselves. When we dare to move to a wider, more mysterious world, then the abundance of the world that we experience unfolds before our very eyes and actually starts to fill our life with abundance that is so rich beyond just the materialist goods that we have in life. It's the abundance that really gives us that sense and that purpose. So I'm going to continue to talk more about this abundance simplicity dynamics from the soul's perception. But what I want to do right now is I want to say to you, I'm taking calls. So if you want to ask me a question, it's a perfect time. This is a great topic. So during the commercial break I'm going to take, then let's go in and call me at 877-230-3062. And again, I would love to hear from you and what's going on in your world and possibly the topics and the relationships. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back and talk more about how to live an abundant life simply.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green?
Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me, I'm talking about how to create an abundant life of all the things that you desire while still living your life simply. Sounds like a challenge, doesn't it? Well, from the soul's perspective, it's not, but from the mind's perspective, it is. And you know, as I was in this commercial break, I was thinking about the information that I shared in the first segment, and I thought, you know, wouldn't it be a lot easier to be able to work through this humanness of who we are, if we can just do a lobotomy and let our soul heart and that soul mind that we have, that divine crystal mind that we have, wouldn't it be great if the two of them could just talk, that crystal heart of the soul and the crystal heart within the crystal of the mind? Oh my gosh, life would be so much easier. And the answer is it would. The only thing that would be at that particular case is that we would find ourselves probably wanting to go back to our old ways. Why? Only because we've been conditioned to the old ways. So the purpose of living abundantly and living simply is how to honor what the mind brings to us and to use that as part of the discernment, the part of the criteria that we look at in order for us to be able to make different choices, better choices, wiser choices, and in the case of the body, healthier choices. So from the soul's perspective, all it wants to do is it just wants to be heard. It wants to be able to contribute. It doesn't want that rhetoric of the human mind, that psyche part of us, to just drown it out. And the energy of 2015, that year of divine appreciation, is not going to allow that soul heart to not be heard, because how we look at ourselves and we look at life is literally going to change to the point where we will listen more and actually follow the information and heed the information more as we enter into this next stage of enlightenment. So, also, I do have another line that's open. So if you have a question for me, 877-230-3062. Good for U.S. callers, Canadian callers, and then, of course, international callers. Same thing, 877-230-3062. One of the things that I post on my website on a regular basis is an energy update. You can find that energy update that I just posted for December, talking about the year of 2014 and OMG, those last 4 months of 2014 around the extreme contrast. And so you can go to my website, Reitberger.com, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. And then what you can do is on the side that's at the top of my home screen, Carol's Musings, just click on it. And it will send you to a page where you can actually go on and download the free energy update. There's also a PDF to this latest update that is an actual channeling that came from Toth, one of the Hierophants, the Hierophant of the Melchizedek. That is part of the council that I work with, not only to be able to understand where we are collectively, but to actually go to and ask information about how can this information that I'm inquiring about be used to be of service for others. So again, you not only get the audio download of the energy update, but there's a free printable PDF at the same time. So again, go to my website, Reitberger.com, click on the Mindful Musing slide. On the moving banner at the top, it'll take you to a page where you can order the download. When I say order, remember it's free, but to go through the process to be able to get access to the downloads, that's the way it needs to be. So if you're not in my database, open up an account, and then that's going to let you also have access to other free reports that I have, such as on breast cancer and then on stress itself. So you can listen to this download as often as you want, as many times as you want, and then also please feel free to share this information, meaning the link to it, to for your friends and your family. It really gives us a glimpse of the energy that we've stepped into in 2015, because the contrast is still there. It's just that it's not going to be quite as blatant, meaning being bombarded with a contrast. It's going to refine itself to where when we experience contrast, meaning that we become consciously aware of it, it's going to be a great big OMG. This is something we need to look at. This is something that we need to ask ourselves. Is this experience liberating us, or is it limiting us? Is it draining us of energy, or is it revitalizing our energy? Those two questions are extremely powerful throughout the entire year of 2015, because it, what it does is it lets you know, is your mind and that safety net of survival, ego, human ego, making your decisions, or is your soul heart offering you an expanded perception and offering in that perception and the expansion of it, do you have other choices that you can make? So again, www.ritberger.com. I'd like to take Carol from California. Hi, my name's Sake.
How are you doing?
Hi there, sweetie.
Hello. I emailed you, and I just can't even believe that I got on. So I'm
my gosh,
grateful.
She's even a Carol.
Yes. So.
All right. Well, why don't we just put Carol on hold for a moment, and then what we'll do is I'll come back and talk a little bit more and try it again.
Are you there, Carol? I am here. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can. Oh my gosh, good.
Oh, good.
I was sending out that energetic lifeline. I mean, you're my namesake. It's like, hello, Carol calling Carol. Carol calling Carol. There you are. Hi, sweetie.
Hello there. I'm so glad I got on.
Oh, thank you. Me too. How can I help you?
I am just having some medical issues with my uterus and hormones, and I'm a little bit unclear in the path to take.
Ah, that's because you haven't got a clear picture of what it is. So, as I touch it, some of the tests that you had run are coming up with unknown, correct? Unknown qualities diagnosis?
I feel like there's two diagnoses they gave me, and one doesn't have an answer, and I felt like I had a great understanding, and then I went home and read more, and I was just more confused.
Yeah. You really are my namesake, sweetie. All right. So why don't you tell me what the two diagnoses were?
So I was told I have adenomyosis.
Okay.
And high testosterone. And it sounds like adenomyosis is high estrogen, but they want to give me estrogen patches as treatment for low estrogen. This is the alternative treatment. The other two are hysterectomy or the birth control pill, neither of which I want.
Yeah, yeah, especially the birth control pills.
Right.
Actually, as I feel the two different ones, you know, the hysterectomy doesn't have as much energy that birth control pills do, because what it's going to do is it's going to force you into menopause, not giving you the chance to be able to really go through the process. It's going to put you in menopause. That's going to change the entire dynamics of the hormones itself. And what it's going to do is actually, it feels to me, it's going to compound the problem.
Okay.
So I can understand where you are then. Have you sought the a second opinion?
I have an appointment in 2 weeks.
Perfect. It feels to me as I'm touching this physician that you're going to see, that this physician feels like, I'm just going to say it like it is more trustworthy. The other physician may have been, but I feel like not even before this occurred. So there was some anxiety that I can pick up that just was there even dealing with the other physician. I don't mean to speak poorly about the physician.
No.
I just know that if we have any kind of anxiety around it, or we've had any other dealings with a physician where there's been that little bit of gray area, it just undermines it. So
it
does not.
I waited 3 hours. She was wonderful, but I had to wait 3 hours.
Yes,
and
yes.
And I was crying in the waiting room and napping.
Yes.
So that was.
Yes. And that can, and again, it isn't that they're not competent. It's just something undermines it. And then it just seems to be, I used to have a flower business long time ago, honey. And what would happen is, you know, some customers would come to me and I would just finally call them and go, oh, would you please go somewhere else? I can't seem to do anything right.
Yes,
that's kind of where we are with this.
Yes.
All right. It does not appear that the diagnosis that you have truly is what you have.
Okay.
So I believe that working with this other physician, I do believe that there are hormonal changes that are happening that have got your hormones, that testosterone and that estrogen, bouncing around like a ping pong ball going from side to side. For me, it feels like this might possibly be tied to some other imbalances that you have, specifically tied to your thyroid. Now, when I say that, I don't want to compound this by making it like, oh, my God, now you've got a thyroid problem. Mm-hmm. But with where you are and what's going on with the hormonal instability in your body, it can impact the dynamics of the hormones itself of the thyroid. And what that can do is it changes the metabolism. It changes the way the body just works with anything. It can make us be more stressed. It can make us, changing those hormones. So when I go in and I touch that, you feel like you're in the normal range or just slightly low within the normal range. But I wanted to share that with you because that can be a dynamic in what a part of a dynamic that you're working with, not something that,
that is the test result that I got, that I'm just like my thyroid was fine, but the slightly low, like you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, that does impact it. And, so when you're listening to this new doctor and you're talking about all the different things, and of course you're going to share what the diagnosis was, go in, because you are my namesake, go in and let's get some information. Talk about your confusion.
Okay.
Be very open about the confusion you have. If this diagnosis says that your estrogen is going to be really high and yet it's not, and it looks like it might be low, or you're being told it's low, this doesn't match. And what that can do is it can help this doctor look at the bigger picture. And it can help the doctor look to see if there's something else going on that is causing this to happen. One of the things that I can tell you is that the endometrial lining of your uterus itself has a lot of what I call inconsistencies in it. It has places where the endometrial lining feels like it has more substance to it, and then it has other areas where it has less. That itself can cause irregularity in bleeding. It can cause irregularity. It can cause a whole bunch of problems that really aren't a problem where we have to go in and go to extreme measures. That's something else to talk about. Were you ever diagnosed with fibroids, sweetie?
I've had the cysts. Is that what the ovarian cysts are? I don't know what that is.
No, the ovarian cysts are different, but the fibroid is similar to a cyst. It's a toxic dump site that actually attaches to the wall of the endometrial lining, and what it can do is it actually can engorge itself when it goes through the natural. It's actually a part of the lining, I should say that kind of bulges out, and it can actually become involved in the dynamics of the ovulation, the buildup, of the blood itself, and then it can cause changes in the menses cycle, the bleeding, the quality of bleeding, the length of time of the bleeding, a whole bunch of different things. So I had picked that up, that you at one point in time, doesn't feel like you do right now, but at one point in time you had at least one, possibly two active active fibroids. So again, I think we've got a whole bunch of dynamics, sweetie, that are going on, that you've had the ovary cyst, a whole bunch of things. I think all the doctor needs to know all that, and then can go in and say, okay, let's take a deep breath and look at this from a bigger, different perspective.
Okay.
All right. So one of the things is again, my namesake, as you are, is that when you're preparing and looking at all the things on the internet, prepare yourself, use that information as questions to be able to ask instead of trying to figure out whether the diagnosis is right or not.
Okay.
And I think that shift to perception will turn it into a research project instead of an OMG, what am I dealing with project. I think that would help you, but I do believe that you will be able to get the answers that you're looking through with a second opinion.
Okay.
So
thank you so very much. I appreciate
you're
that.
Very welcome. The other thing that just popped in really quick, your soul heart just said to me, is that, you know, you've been carrying a lot of burden of responsibility and you've been worrying a lot throughout your life, but for some reason, not even this situation, but you feel like in the last year you've been worrying. Is that true? So what you want to do is, sweetie, is that before you go talk to the doctor, let's just pack that worry up in a nice, healing, healthy bag, and let's look at getting rid of the worry. So before you go to the doctor, that's going to help you a lot. Worry really causes a lot of chaos in the uterus of a female, because worry can also bring up guilt. It can also bring up shame, and it can bring up a lot of the things that honestly can undermine the health and well-being of our uterus. So that's something else. And, you know, deep breath, look at your soul heart and, you know, basically have a cup of coffee with it and say, you know, how do you see this worrying? And you'll be surprised. It'll say to you, it's just an experience. What do you want to do with it? Do you want to continue to worry, or shall we just, you know, let it go overall? And then let's find something, if we're going to worry on something really, really important that you have control over, instead of worrying about all the things that you don't.
I've definitely been shifting through that recently, and I feel like
yes.
That's got a lot to do with this, and I'm trying to sort out what do I need to address physically versus spiritually or in combination.
You know? Well, the main thing that I'm picking up with you is that who you're worrying about, you don't have any control over, and I know you're not a control freak, but it feels to me like you're being brought into the dynamics of this interaction in a way that somehow it's been misconstrued in your mind based on what's been said, that somehow you're responsible for what's taking place. Therefore, you're responsible for fixing it. Does that ring true?
So many relationships, I can't pick the one.
A child?
Yes, definitely my teenage daughter, yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's the one.
Okay.
We can love as a mother unconditionally, but when the mother becomes responsible for fixing things, then it isn't unconditional. Then what it is we hold ourselves accountable, and that's a real difficult place. It weighs heavy on us, and that shows up in my world as a medical intuitive in the uterus.
Well, she just got her first boyfriend, and this is a powerful time in our relationship for sure. So,
mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
You have so much to share with her. If there, you know, tap into this, your soul heart, and ask if there's creatively a way that you can share with her stories, things that you've experienced, the fun things that you've experienced about relationships, and open that door. I know she wants it. For some reason, She just feels like she's being brainwashed, that everybody else are the meanies in this. They're all trying to stop this. I mean, it's being blown out of proportion is how it feels to me, sweetie.
Okay.
And it's really difficult to be able to go in and kind of find this little neutral path in that process with it. You know, tell her that you love her. And tell her that you'll always be there for her, and oh my gosh, you understand, you know, all the things that are going on. You certainly don't know exactly, but you understand it, and just keep that line of communication open. It's going to help you a lot because you do have a very close bond with her. It just feels like she's being distracted from that bond, sweetie.
You're amazing. Thank you so much.
Well, so are you. You just have been telling me, your soul's been sitting in front of me. Say this, say that, say this, lick this, click neck that and everything. I mean, oh my gosh. So anyway, well, light and love to you, my love. You have a great day. And couple weeks, we'll be in the next step. Turn it into a research project, and that's going to help you a lot. All right, what I want to do is I kind of want to wrap up the show just very briefly about how we can actually create more abundance in our life. Well, the answer is really simple. What we do is we just need to literally be more creative. And the reason for that is because the soul heart thrives on creativity, and it uses our imagination to be able to create the world that we seek, to look for the best of the best in the world that we're in, to use that best of the best to be able to align that with the world that we seek, and to know that that world exists of abundance, exists on some level. That soul heart knows that we're born creative, and it understands that when we lose touch with our creativity and the demands of the mind take over, then the expectations of life causes us to forget that inherent creative part of who we are. Yet the soul heart, very patient, is waiting for us to remember who we are and hoping that we're going to remember that we're creative. And if we are not getting there quite quick enough, then what it'll do is it might focus our attention on an empty garden bed and trigger the thought like, oh, this is an empty garden bed. I need to do something. Or maybe we're all spun up. And in my particular case, my soul heart comes in and goes, why don't you just go fondle your beads and go play in your bead studio? And it's become such an overwhelming, almost a compulsion. It's like, okay, I'm going to put everything on hold and I'm going to go, you know, play and be creative in my bead room. Every single one of us has a creativity within us, whether it's music or painting or writing, whether that's writing books or poetry or gardening or being outdoors and connecting with nature. Every single one of us has a creative aspect of ourselves that the soul heart yearns for us to feed every day. So when we go in and we let the soul heart guide the creativity and help us remember who we are, and that being creative is the pathway to liberating ourselves from our fears and insecurities. In fact, creativity teacher Julia Cameron said, creativity is God's gift to us. Using our creativity is our gift back to God. So immerse yourself in satisfying creative projects that actually replenish the energy of your soul heart while really deeply connecting you with that imaginative inner child that you have. And what that does is the activities of that actually slows down the mind's pace so it can engage in the activity itself and in a joyful, exciting way and being present in the moment. When this happens, there's an energetic connection that takes place between that soul heart and the mind, and they again become one energetically and in unison. And then what we find is we find ourselves living simply. There isn't the complexity, and the abundance that we find are beyond anything that we're going to actually experience physically. Creativity is ignited when we see life through the eyes of our soul heart, and that's when our awareness of what's happening around us becomes actually more heightened. This heightened awareness causes us to pay more attention to what we're seeing, what we're thinking, and what we're feeling. It encourages us to be an eager student of life and to engage in the experiences not with trepidation, not with fear, not with insecurities, but with enthusiasm. It brings us back to that three-year-old part of us that has no fear, that part of us that believes that it can stand up on a sofa and not fall over, or it can move something from one place to the other without being told that's not possible. That three-year-old part of us and the creativity is really what makes it possible for us to begin anew and to see things in a new way of being able to do them. What most importantly it does is it minimizes, and ultimately through the act of creativity and the joy that comes from it, is that we find ourselves living less by our fears and insecurities and living our lives more passionately abundant about what we're doing. So now what we're doing is we're actually living not only that abundant life simply, but we're really enjoying every delicious moment that life offers. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's been fun to share this information with you. One of the things that I ask myself that, you know, what do I really want to do? I love being a medical intuitive and all the things, but one of the things my soul heart said to me is that what you love most, Carol, is sharing about the soul, sharing about the soul heart and how we can live abundantly. Light and love to all of you. Have a wonderful week. I'm going to see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.